You know why I remember it. It's very catchy, right? But it makes you feel very glad, doesn't it? It's kind of a beautiful song. Maybe I hope that we can maybe have the children sing that here. It's a really great arrangement of that song, too. But it's based on the truth that is found in Psalm 122, and it's a very beautiful song to sing because the Psalms were meant to be sung. And so when we have that in us, we know that we have a God who wants us to be glad. He wants us to have these feelings of looking forward to being here. I hope that you looked forward to coming here today. There are sometimes things that get in our way and break our peace in our lives, but coming to church should be one of those things, one of the main things that breaks us away from the things that inhibit our lives and take away our peace and restore it. Amen? And give it to each other as we see each other here. And actually, this psalm reminds us of that in a big way, how important it is to be in the house of the Lord with each other. And we're going to see that in this psalm that was written most probably by David. It could have been David. It could have been someone else. But it says a song of ascents of David, so we'll assume it was. But let's go through this, and we're going to take a look at that word peace today and what it really means for us as the church in Jesus Christ. I want to start out, though, with a quote that was written by Andrew D. Ciferni that I read this week just as we keep things in view as Christians today. It says this: to be baptized into the priesthood of Christ, then, is to be formed by the Spirit into the abiding habit of praying in, with, and through Christ. I really like that. To be baptized into the priesthood of Christ, then, is to be formed by the Spirit into the abiding habit of praying in, with, and through Christ. That's one of the things that I think I'm going to put at the top of the list when we do a baptism class. To be baptized, one of the main things that we want to be forming in ourselves is through the Spirit, a habit of praying in, with, and through Jesus Christ. We need to be prayerful people because we belong to God, and that is who we are. We are people who imitate Christ, who prayed, and it is a habit that we form in ourselves through God's Spirit in each one of our lives. So let's remember that, shall we, and remind each other. Have you prayed today? Did you pray for that meal? Have you prayed about that problem? Have you prayed about that test? Have you prayed about the work situation? Have you prayed about it? Brother, have you prayed? You know, if we can get those words out and going in our church, we will be doing well to be doing what they did in this psalm here in Psalm 122. So let's just take a look at it briefly. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And so they're going to the house of the Lord, and they're glad to be going there. Right? Did you ever go on a trip and you say, oh man, we get to go there? Or if you're on a class trip, we're going to see the science. What in Jersey City, right? There's a science museum or something like that, right? Oh, we're going to go here. We're going to go to this museum. We're going to go to any kind of class trip. You're just glad to be going someplace, right? It's a place where you love to go. This people, the people of God, are glad to be going to the house of the Lord. I don't know. I've been alive 60 years now, and I feel that is really where it's at. You know, and not only that, but wanting to go to heaven and wanting to be there and being around people who all know Jesus, being in the presence of Almighty God, that is the presence of God. And for them, it was found where? It's in Jerusalem. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. And so these people are on a pilgrimage, and they're in Jerusalem. It's their place that they've made their pilgrimage to, and they've arrived, and their feet are standing there. It's like, I've been, and now I'm there, standing, looking around. Have you ever been to a place that is historical, and you go there, and you're like, wow, this is a crazy place. This is like filled with all kind of history. You know, I don't know if some of the young people have been to places like that, or some of you who are a little bit older, but to be in a place that is historical. You know, for me, when I went to Germany, I was singing all about the Rhine River in all of these songs that were written by composers like Beethoven and Schumann and Schubert. And I got to Germany, and I was driving along, and the Rhine River was right there, and I was like, now it's there. It's right next to me, and I'm seeing these castles that are on there, and there were songs written about those things. And when you're there and you see that, you feel like, wow, This is amazing. Well, it's an even greater feeling for these people to be going to Jerusalem because it is a place where God is. It's a place where God is centered and where the temple is, and the people of God are all coming together there to rejoice and to worship Him. Jerusalem, if you take it apart, it's Jerusalem. Salem means peace. Jerusalem, it's the city of peace. Right? And so it makes sense for us today on this day of Advent, talking about peace, to be reading this psalm and exploring its meaning and taking a look at these words and finding these hidden treasures that for us might escape us as people that are not associated with Salem as a language for peace. But now it is. And it belongs to us because we come from this history. These are the people of God. These are the people that Jesus came from and that we come from because of Jesus. And so Salem is close to the word shalom, which is always said at the beginning for praise from some of our praise leaders. And shalom, so you can think of Jerusalem. The city of peace. We're going to the city of peace. And that is so wonderful for us to think about, that they are going there, and it's built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which all the tribes, meaning the people of God, the Jewish people, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. They went all that way to go and give thanks to God. Right? And so every time we come here, our purpose is to give thanks to God, to worship Him. And to be glad about it. And to let go of all the things. Why? Well, explore inside of your heart. You can just widen yourself and like this a little bit and start to let those thoughts of why you are so happy to be here fill it in. Open up your arms. Let's just do it. Break away. Break away from all the inhibitions. And just think about, and now look up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. What else? What else do you want to say?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Let all of the thoughts that come into you when you break away and you just center yourself on the city of peace, the God who is the Lord of the city of peace. We have a lot of tension in ourselves, right? It takes away peace. Doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't take much for us to get off the road to Jerusalem. Off to the city of peace. Just the slightest thing. Oh, why are they late? I've been waiting here. They said they were going to be here on time. I'm not here. I saw a movie recently, and the guy was couldn't drive and because he lost his license, and he had a driver, and the driver came there. He was a friend of his, and he said, 7:15, I'll be there. You will be out in my car at 7:15, right? Not me coming to get you, and then you get up, and then you come out late, you know? So those kind of things always get, they break up our peace. Oh, I have to wait. I have to wait for this person. Oh, they let me down. They didn't do this. Oh, they don't think like I do. Oh, man, all these different things. We get all caught up in that, and Jesus is like, let it go. Take a moment, breathe, widen your arms, and say, thank you, Lord, for all things. Thank you, Jesus. Help me not to get caught up in that anymore, but to come to the city of peace. That's what life is supposed to be about as Christians. We're supposed to exude this kind of excitement and having that kind of a feeling in our hearts. Give thanks to the name of the Lord. Okay, Noel, can you play those slides that off that thing you had played? Yeah. So I want to start off here. I want to take a step back because I meant to talk about this. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. I chose this verse today because it's true. I was thinking about something, you know, and I was trying to work it out in my mind this past week. And I had all these thoughts going around and how I was going to do stuff. And if I was to describe myself, I would say I was in this little tiny box like this, all caught up. And there were all these kind of like wires all sticking me and making me feel upset and getting to me, you know. And then I took out my daily Bible reading and I opened to 119 and this verse was right there. Great peace have those who love your law. And so I started reading the Bible. And you know what happened? that box was gone. It was just like this. And suddenly I was free, and I was able to think about life in a different way, and all those things. But it comes from the Bible. It comes from the Word of God. And it's the most accessible thing to us in the world. And it's right here for us. But how long does it take us to get there? Right? God is urging us through this verse to say, great peace. You want peace? Great peace. Great peace have those who love your law. Not just to say, let me see if I can get through, but to love it. Do you love God's law? Do you love the Bible? Do you love reading it? Do you love spending time in it? Do you love the things that God points out to you through it? Do you love finding out that Jerusalem means shalom, peace? Do you love finding out that angels were singing in heaven? Do you see the excitement? Do you love that? Is that what your life is about? That's what God wants from us. He wants to take us to those places. He wants to take us out of little boxes and all the little things and the unpeaceful things that we want so much to hold on to. And if I have to tell you, as an opera singer, as a singer and stuff like that, you're always worried about singing. How is it going to be? How are they going to think? What if I make a mistake? How about if I forget the words? What if I do this? What if I do that? That's crazy, man. That's crazy. And that's not what singing is supposed to be about. Right? And that's the same way in life. Life is not about like, oh, I hope I don't make a mistake. I hope that person doesn't get mad at me. And I hope this doesn't go wrong. And I hope this doesn't go wrong. It's about peace. Peace. And the only place to find it is God. The only place that you'll find it, the kind that I'm talking about, that the Bible is talking about here, is found in God alone. It's peace that gives us that. Are we going to have worries? Sure, we'll have worries. We're going to have those things, but there's an answer for them. God does not want us to remain in those things. Learn to love the law of God, the Bible. Learn to love God. Learn to love the house of the Lord. Love the name of the Lord. Call upon it and do those things. Okay? Can we have the next slide? Okay, Psalm 76, 1-3. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword of battle. Broke them to smithereens. Peace is in Salem, Jerusalem. It's short for that. It's in his tabernacle, right? The place where he meets with his people. The place where he comes and he dwells among the people. Let's have the next one. We have another one? Doesn't want to go? It's not advancing? Okay, let me read it. Let's see. 147, Psalm 147. Verses 12 to 14. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of the wheat. There it is. Right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you know what that really is? Hallelujah. We just sang that in one of the songs. Hallelujah. When you see praise the Lord, hallelujah, Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. You want blessing for your children? Praise the Lord. Amen. Great is the peace. Great is the peace of those who love your law. Great is the peace for those who love God. Great is the peace. It extends to your whole family. It extends to your whole surroundings, to your community. This whole community needs the peace of God. The peace that is found in him. He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children. He makes peace in your borders, and he fills you with the finest wheat. We want peace in this world. We need God. We need him. And so he needs to be on our lips as the offering of the solution to this world. That is the solution to my life. That is the solution to my mind when it plays tricks on me. My heart when it starts to tell me lies. When the devil attacks me. When things come into my life and take me out of that and say, I've got a hold on you and I'm going to bring you down because I hate you. And you say, nope, Jesus loves me. and because Jesus loves me, be gone from me, Satan. No one's going to take my peace because Jesus is my King and He is the Prince of Peace. I am going to stand upon those things. That is what life is all about, friends. It is about the peace that God wants to give to us, that He has given to us through His Son. And then he gets into this whole area in the next section of Scripture, right? In Psalm 122 again, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Seeking the good of Jerusalem, of the people of God, of the place where God is to be worshipped. It was so important for them to have that place like that. Friends, do we appreciate where we worship here? Do we appreciate the people of God that we meet with here in our church? We need to. It's very important because it's right here. And the church is the New Jerusalem. It is the place where people come to celebrate our King Jesus. He is the one who has formed this church, and this is the place that we gather, and so we need to pray for it. When was the last time you prayed for the church? When was the last time? If you say those words, Lord, be with the church, what does that mean? It has different aspects to it. What would be one? What would be one part of the church you want to pray for? Somebody. Submission to God. That the church would submit to God. What else?
Unity.
Amen. Unity among brothers and sisters in the church. Love. That love would abound in the church of God. You see how easy it is? What else?
Holiness.
Living lives of holiness. Keeping pure. Yeah, what else? Sorry?
Not gossiping.
Amen. What else? You guys all know the Bible, right? So it's all filled in the Bible. It's all these things that we can pray for, right? So this is what this whole message is coming out today. I think that God wants to talk to us to start to get our attention so that we begin forming habits of prayer lives. I'm waiting for the youth of our church to form a prayer time together. I've been praying for it, and I'm still going to pray for it, and you don't have to do it because I say so, but I'm praying for it. So we pray for our youth. Nobody said that. We pray for our youth. It said here, your children will be blessed. Are we praying for the children? Are you praying for the children of our church? We need to be. Because it's in God's Word. And why? Because they all need God's peace. These little children who sit here today, they don't say very much when I'm talking to them, but they talk a lot when they're downstairs. And they talk a lot about very, very deep things. Amen? I mean, parents know that, and other people, the teachers know that there's things on minds the parents don't hear that the children are going through, but they know that they're going through them, and they're thinking, how are we going to deal with this? But what we want to do is we want to help them to create a habit of the tradition that is introduced through God in this psalm in their lives so that they will know peace. I don't want to be faced with that bully at school anymore. My own daughter had that problem. Prayed about it, the peace of God came into her heart. Oh, I feel so much better. We need to be spending our time on thinking about what we went through and then pray for those things because they all go through the same thing. We all go through the same things, right? We're so closely knit here together with those different kind of things, right? That we know and we relate to, and so what we need to do is form the habit of getting on our knees and praying, just as these people did that. They saw Jerusalem, they wanted to go to Jerusalem, they were glad they were in Jerusalem, and they were happy there to give thanks to God, and what did it do? It resulted in praying for that city, and for its protection, and for its continuation, and its security, Right? And those are all things that we can relate to in our church here. We need to be praying, everyone. I don't know how to say it in any kind of other way. If I jump up on the balcony and say, maybe we can say it in a different way, but I think all of you have the ability to understand what that means. We need to act on it. Not just sit here and say, wow, that's a great idea. One day I hope someone does it. I've heard that many times too. I'm sure somebody else will think of that. It's for you and everyone here to do that and to spend time on these things because you know that our world is in turmoil. Is it not? People are wrapped up with the turmoil of the world. Bring them Jesus. Bring them Jesus. Peace is found in Him. And if you doubt that, then you do not love the world the way Jesus loves the world. And I don't love the world the way Jesus loves the world. Because I can do nothing on my own, but He can do all things. And He can come into situations and bring peace. And you're like, wow, do I really want it that bad for them? Do I really want it that bad for the people where I'm from? Do I really want peace that bad for the people here where I live that are in this church? Do I want peace of God to be that real? Or am I just speaking words because I don't know what to do? We need to pray, and we need to form habits of prayer, and they need to be regular every day. That's what they're doing here. They're talking about praying for the one that they love, for God and His kingdom in that way. So let's take a look at some more verses that further talk about our faith in the gospel here. Okay? Can we have this next slide? Will it go? Ephesians, I think. I think this thing's just a little slow today. It's a little sleepy. Poor Noelle. She has to wait. Well, you know, we're not going to get upset. We're going to let the peace of God rule in our hearts, you know? And we can turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Okay. So this is what Paul talks about in terms of peace. But now in Christ, Jesus, you once were far away, have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. For He Himself is our peace. Amen? He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has torn down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in His flesh the law of commandments and decrees. He did this to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. This is what Christ and His peace is about. Taking two and making them one. There's division all in our world. And Jesus takes those people and brings them together. But it's not just so that they can live in this world. It's so that their lives can be transformed and they can have eternal life and live with Him. Because you see, the sin of the world was threatening the world and all the people in the world. And God sent His only Son to die on the cross so that the world would not have to fear, but that could be saved from sin and be united with God. And that's what He did. He brought about peace through the cross of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the next one. Somebody pray. Let's pray for a second, okay? Somebody pray. I'm waiting for someone to pray. Amen. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Not as the world gives do I give to you. It comes from heaven above. He gives us the real peace. My peace I give to you. I leave with you my peace I give to you. This is so important. This is what was read at the beginning of the service by the Lee family when we were lighting this candle, right? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, right? What was he doing? He was giving his peace to his disciples. He was giving his peace to his disciples. He could have said anything. What could he have given them that they could have used? But he gave them peace. Right? And what was it for? So that they would have a nice feeling in their minds and their hearts, and they feel like, okay, I'm feeling good about things. Yes, of course, there's some attitude there that he wanted to give them a sense of peace because he would be going away and he'd be leaving them. He wanted them to be a piece of that. But far more importantly, he gave them peace to give to others. They are his witnesses. They are his people. They are the ones that are to pass peace to other people. If we don't have peace, then how are we going to pass it to others? We're talking about gossip in the church. We're talking about different things, disagreements between people. We're talking about things that we hold against one another. How are people going to say, oh, I will receive the peace of God from you when you yourself are not practicing it in your church? Right? It makes common sense, right? It's just common sense. We have to say, I am not perfect and we have problems in our church. Yes, we do things. However, God, in His grace and His love, gives us His peace so that we can be restored with one another and we continue on. Right? That is the peace of God. That is the peace that He leaves with us, the kind that is forgiving, the kind that is merciful, the kind that says, you know what, we had a bad moment, but let's keep going. Because I love you. And because the peace of Jesus Christ is something I have been praying for. And because I have been praying for that each day, I have an association with peace each day in my life so that I know whenever something happens like that, that I have the means through Jesus to retain the peace, to keep it in my life and not let it destroy anything that Satan wants to get in the way of. I am not going to let somebody who is upset with me take away the peace of God, and neither am I going to stop loving them. Because Jesus loves me. And He gave me His peace. And He is peace. And as long as I have Jesus, there's nothing that anyone can do to destroy that, right? There's another scripture. I'll just read this one. It's found in John 20:19-23. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." And so this is a reaffirmation of what I've just said, that Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace be with you." It is not merely a greeting. Yes, it was a greeting, but it is not merely a greeting. It is one that is filled with power. It is filled with power. And so peace is not just an emotion or something that comes about when people come together and they put their arguments behind them. It is the power of God at work. Peace is something that we sometimes misjudge, and we have this feeling like, oh, now we can just have a nice feeling. It is more than that. It is something that caused the Son of God to die on the cross for you and me and to put to death sin and death. And for those in our world around us that don't know Christ, those two things are something that cause immense fear. Just think about some of the religions in the world and some of the peoples in the world and what they do, to what extent they go so that they can appease the gods and say, oh, please don't let this happen. Or, please, you know, don't let me just dissipate and go away when I die from this world. God offers peace that gives life and life eternal. There isn't any fear. There isn't anything that we have to do because Jesus did it already. He paid the price on the cross. We need to open our minds as Christians and see the other religions around us and take a look at them, really, and not be afraid to see what you see. We have a lot of respect for people, have different ideas in this world, but we need to be concerned about them because they are going straight into darkness. And that's why the light of the world came in, Jesus, to bring people out of the darkness, to bring peace with God, the one true God, and to bring it into people's lives so that they will know that there is hope. And so that is what we are doing today. We want to begin to form a habit of prayer so that we can bring peace from God into our lives and into the lives of others. So I don't know how long it might take to get to this last one. You better start now. Maybe the next one. Okay, so pray for peace. Number one, pray for a heart that loves God's word. Pray for a heart that loves God's word. That's based on Psalm 119, 165. I love your law. Great peace have those who love your law. Pray for a heart that loves God's word. You can do that very easily, right? Pray for Christ to be in every heart in our church. Every person will know Jesus Christ in their hearts, that they will know him as Savior. Number three, pray for the church of Christ to be secure, so to give witness of Christ. There are very few attacks on us right now as we worship, but there are places in the world where people are being killed because they believe in Jesus. And we, in our comfort here, need to pay attention to that and be praying for them. We need to be praying. So if you want to put your time to good use, then begin a habit of prayer for these things. Number four, pray that we will be his witnesses and ambassadors of his peace. Pray that we will be his witnesses and ambassadors of his peace so that we can overcome the lack of courage that we have when we're with people who are living in ways that are opposite of our lives as Christians, and stay there with them and not just walk away, but to get to know them and to begin to pray for them, that they will know Christ. And it's amazing what God will do. And number five, pray for the world to know the peace, which is Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a hymn that is also a prayer, and I think it'll be good for us to do that now. But before we do, I'm going to ask for us to pray. Okay? I don't know if you're comfortable doing that. What I'm talking about is not to yourself, unless you want to, but I'm asking you to begin the habit of being bold and saying something to God here among people here. If you can't do it here, how could you do it anywhere else? Right? If we can't pray with one another and we have the same faith in Jesus Christ and accept one another's words and just say amen to the people's prayers that are lifted up, where are we going to learn? Right? If a person has trouble praying here and they don't hear another person praying who has a relationship with Christ, how are they going to know how to pray? You see, we need to get that going now, and I think God is urging for us to do that as we go into the Advent season and we have people coming to our church that don't know Christ, that they see what Christians do. God, help me with my sickness. God, help my loved one who's going through a hard time. God, help me in this way. Praise you, Lord, for who you are. Praise you that you saved me from my sin. Praise you, God, for the home that I have, for the family that I have. Thank you for everything, Lord, that you give to me. This is a witness, you see? And so if we come together and we pray as a church, then we will be giving witness of that too. So just for a few moments, if you feel like praying, just go ahead and pray. If pray at the same time, it doesn't have to be different times. You can just pray. Let's just spend a few moments praying to our God, giving thanks, and praying for the church.